When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In the decade that she's been on our screens, whether that's watching her on TV or reading about her on your smartphone, we've seen a few sides to Millie McIntosh. There's been the party girl, the businesswoman, the wellness enthusiast, and a women's health cover star a whopping four times over. And now, almost a year on from the birth of her daughter, Sienna, it's time to get to know another. Millie, the doting mum, who, the way she tells it, has got a whole new perspective on what healthy means to her. Hello, I'm Roisin Devashow-Kane, and this is Going for Goal, the weekly women's health podcast. On this show, we call on top experts to share the tools you need to make good on the health goals that really matter to you. And on episodes like this one, we chat to our favourite celebrities and wellness heavyweights about what they do to feel and function at their best. In today's episode, Millie discusses her nerves in the run-up to her first women's health shoot after having daughter Sienna, what she's booking in for the Great British Unlocked summer of 2021, spin classes, spa days, girly lunches, all the good stuff, and what becoming a mum for the first time in a year like no other was really like. Millie was super open, from what her and husband Hugo Taylor bickered about during lockdown to the unfiltered realities of C-section recovery and how this affected her journey back to fitness. While she's resolute that the notion of snapping back post-birth needs to, and I'm paraphrasing here, do one, Millie speaks candidly about times when, in the months following the birth, getting used to her new postpartum body was tough, and why she believes it's important for her to be able to share that. Let's hear from her. Millie McIntosh, hello. Welcome to Going for Goal.
Hi, darling. Hi, thank you so much for chatting to me. I'm very excited. How's your day going?
Do you know what? It's great. I'm in such a good mood because it's so springy.
Yeah, it is, right? Today, this weekend it felt like properly first day of spring, and it was spring equinox, but I can feel it now.
Definitely, definitely. And when we spoke for your cover interview, I feel like it was like the deepest depths of lockdown three. It was like a grey Thursday morning. It looked like it was about, I don't know, it looked like it was 5 p.m. even though it was like 10 in the morning.
Yeah. When was it? It was like February, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think like mid-Feb.
Yeah, but we're past that. I'm so glad. And like we're nearly at the end of lockdown. I mean, gradually, hopefully coming out of it soon. I think that's making me feel a bit more positive.
Yes. Definitely. And you look absolutely, so we spoke before your shoot, you look absolutely phenomenal in the pictures, and by the time this comes out, everyone will have got to see them. Did you enjoy that shoot day?
Do you know what? I really did. It was just so exciting to be around people. I mean, obviously everyone was wearing the correct PPE and we didn't touch, but it was just so nice to actually not be at home and not just be like a mummy for the day, and actually to get really glammed up and be in heels and amazing swimwear and have like this great team to doing my hair and makeup. And then I love the photographer who I've worked with before. It's makes me feel so comfortable. I was nervous at the beginning. It did take me a little bit to like warm into it because it felt really odd. I hadn't done a shoot in a long time, and in that time we've been in a pandemic and I've had a baby, so it was, you know, it was my fourth cover, so I did kind of know what to expect and like how those shoots work and have a bit of that, like, kind of to make me feel less nervous. And as the day went on, I found that I kind of found my rhythm and remembered, like, the poses that make me feel good and kind of found my confidence. But, like, when I first walked out on set, I was quite nervous.
Of course.
Because it's been a big change.
Yeah, totally. And it was so great to chat to you about that. And we go in depth in the magazine interview, which will be on sale now. And you should all go buy it and you can look at those stunning pictures. Millie truly working swimwear and a pair of heels like I think few other people can.
I haven't got to wear nice swimwear in so long. I was like just loving it, and the sunglasses and the earrings. I mean, who actually gets that glammed up on in by the pool or on the beach, especially with a baby? So I just thought this is my chance. And no, it was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
You're probably going to make the most. And how is Sienna? How is she doing?
Sienna is good. She is almost one. And yeah, when this comes out, it will literally be a couple of weeks before her first birthday, which is on the 1st of May. And oh God, I swear she just gets more adorable every day. I'm just so obsessed with her. She's amazing. Lots of kind of new challenges and new stages. There's always, you think you're, mastering it and then everything changes again. But she's kind of trying to stand up. I think she's going to be kind of trying to walk soon, which is exciting, also a bit nerve-wracking. She's trying to pull herself onto everything, and you could see her kind of little wobbly legs, and I just get so scared of her falling down and or pulling something onto herself. But she's so inquisitive. She just wants to get into everything, and she's kind of at that stage where she doesn't really want to play with her toys, or not for very long. She wants to play with like things that, whatever I'm doing, she wants to be doing. Yeah, our most recent thing has been like weaning and going from purees to finger foods and kind of progressing her onto actual whole foods rather than just eating everything like mush. So it's been actually really fun. Although at the beginning I was really nervous, so I'm actually really enjoying it now, like giving her little bits of what I'm having and introducing her to foods that I really love. It's getting more fun as we go along and she gets more used to it.
And she'll be another foodie. Another generation.
I hope so. She is a good eater. She seems to really like her food and like trying new things. And if she doesn't, she's sure to let me know and just like drops it on the floor.
No. Next.
No. She's got quite a strong. She's quite strong-willed. She is a Taurus.
Of course.
We're seeing that come through. I'm starting to see like glimpses of like almost toddler tantrums, and that's a little bit scary.
You're like, not glimpses, yet.
Glimpses of what's to come. I'm like, you're not even one. It goes so fast. Honestly, like I really weirdly feel grateful to lockdown because I feel like I've just spent so much more time at home with her than I would have otherwise. And that in a the time does go so fast, you don't get it back. And just getting to be around her so much, constantly seeing her change and develop and all these moments are so special. I'm already feeling like, oh, I don't want her to grow up and not be my baby anymore.
Oh, no, I bet it goes so, so, so quickly. And what are your, speaking of, so that's been a highlight for you of lockdown. What about plans for after the unlock? I feel now like it's what everyone's talking about. Everyone's trying to book everything and get excited. What are some of your top things that you have to do with her? So as a mum, but then also just okay.
So big unlock. I am really excited to go on a family staycation, which we're doing in the UK with the grandparents. So we're going with my parents and Hugo's mum. And we're going to Devon, and that's kind of like end of May. So I'm really excited to like take her to the seaside and just get out of London and just kind of get that fresh air and just kind of make those memories. By then, she might be like starting to stand up, or I don't think she'll be walking unassisted, but running, like playing on the sand and taking her to the sea, and hopefully we get one of those amazing spells of weather. It'll typically rain every day and we'll end up playing like board games. But either way, I'm really excited for that. Just getting outside and just, I don't know about you, but after being like cooped up in our houses for so long, I just want mm-hmm. to feel the sun on my skin. I want to feel, smell the sea air. I want to see the sea and just have a break from being at home, really. So I'm really excited for that. And I'm excited for dates with Hugo, you know, getting dressed up and going out for like date nights and going out to a nice restaurant, ordering from a menu, not washing up and just having some couple time. I'm excited for like girls' lunches, again, like getting a bit dressed up, like having some rosé, having a giggle, you know, just strolling around, like, you know, window shopping. And I'd love a spa day. Those are a couple of things that I'm quite excited for. And gym classes. I cannot wait to go back to like a yoga class, you know, and feel the energy of the room and do like a really nice flow and spin class and get that kind of, get my groove on my bike, like to the music, tap it back. Like I just miss that, like disco lights. I don't even want to go to a club. I just want to go to a spin class. That's how sad I am. That's what I'm most excited for.
And that's why you've been on the cover of Women's Health four times.
It's just to see friends, picnics, barbecues, these love, you know, the things that I really enjoy in a British summer. I'd love to go abroad. It seems quite unknown still at the moment, so who knows? But if we manage to go away maybe towards like the end of the summer, it might be more possible.
Yes.
But we're like keeping that as a maybe. But we've got another trip in July, which is in the Cotswolds. We've like rented a cottage. So we're definitely just going to do a couple of like staycations and just have as a family and really enjoy that.
Oh,
what about you?
So nice. Yeah, I've got a few days penciled in September that were always for being like, let's go get a villa somewhere hot, maybe on some Mediterranean island. However, that's looking increasingly unlikely. So probably we'll be off to the south coast somewhere. If there's still going to be space at that time.
I don't know about you, but I have felt, as excited as I am for lockdown to end, there's this kind of weird feeling of like, you go to like, you're like, oh, I can book a restaurant and stuff, and then everywhere's fully booked and it's a bit like, oh. And also I've had a little bit of anxiety, like, oh, we're allowed out now, but like, what to do? Like, so much choice. And then, oh no, but actually everywhere's booked and I didn't make plans, and oh my god, like, ah, like the stress of like not being able to make plans and then the pressure of making plans. Do you get that too? When it all got announced, I actually had a week of feeling really weird when they announced the like steps out, and I expected just to be really happy and excited, but actually it was quite confusing how I felt about it.
I think I felt the same as you, and it was I noticed a really interesting thing in my friendship group, because I had all the kind of slightly more introverted people just were quite quiet. And then all my really extroverted friends were like, let's book this, there's this festival, there's this thing. And then it was sort of like my phone was properly going off. But yeah, it is a funny one. And it's almost like one of the worst things of the past year is that you've not been able to have like spontaneous plans. But now it's that thing you're like, oh, can we do spontaneous plans anyway if everything's all booked up? So yeah, I guess still have to count ourselves as very lucky again, especially when you look, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I feel really lucky that COVID hasn't, you know, affected me badly, like apart from I can't smell, but you know, everything else, you know, otherwise I do feel really lucky, and that lucky that there is a plan out of it. And you know, there'll be, you know, gardens and parks, and we will get to socialize this summer, even if you can't get a table anywhere.
Even if you can't, yeah, exactly. It's just going to be another summer of tinned G&Ts in the park, but we'll probably
not
be
so
glad
bad.
For it. So long as
yeah.
it, exactly, really not so bad. Do you have any double play dates planned for, because obviously Spencer and Vogue have a little one.
I know, Gigi, she's so cute, and yeah, it's really hard not, you know, not doing those play dates. You just you just can't do it over Zoom, you know, with the little ones, because they look at each other's faces and like kind of smile for a second, and they just want to like break your laptop. So I can't wait to get together. Yeah, we've got plans to, you know, girls lunch, and then also, you know, just us, and then definitely like play dates with the babes as well.
Aww.
I've got loads of friends with kids, and I'm just like so desperate to get them all together. It's going to be really sweet.
Yes, you're like, come on, bond.
Yeah, bond. Like, please be friends. No pressure. Yeah.
You will love each other, and you will hang out. You and Hugo's, Hugo seem to be definitely nailing new parenthood. But obviously, time has been very intense on relationships, and even when, you know, you're not, your main focus isn't keeping a tiny person alive. What have you learned about Hugo in lockdown, like the good and the bad?
Do you know what? I feel really lucky that we haven't killed each other. I honestly feel very lucky that I feel like we've got through the test of lockdown and we're like closer than ever. So, you know, they say these things like make you stronger, and, you know, to have had a baby and been in lockdown, it's two super intense situations for any relationship. And I think it has taught us a lot about each other. I hate doing the dishwasher. He's quite good at it. You know, we have our roles. You know, he takes the bins out. I do most of the laundry. And, you know, we have to have a balance of like house duties and things that you both do. And I feel like it's better just to find with the ones that you don't find as painful, and then, you know, you just work out like who does what based on that, and just making sure it feels like a kind of, it feels shared, and just communicating. And I think understanding that he isn't a mind reader, and that's fine. And sometimes you just have to ask, and ask nicely, rather than, I sometimes can just make comments which are, you know, like kind of a bit like passive aggressive, or just, you know, just like, he's like, if you want to ask, just ask. And I'll just be like, oh, but just can really deal with it with like, I can't even think of an example, but I'll just keep like leaving these like comments. And he's like, can you actually just ask me if you want me to do something? And I'm like, okay, yeah. So when I work on communication, that's good. Sometimes we've needed to give each other space. I think that's really normal. And, you know, whether that's just, you know, being like, actually, you know, but I've said, oh, should we go for a walk together? And he said, actually, I just really need to go on my own and like listen to an audiobook. And it's just like understanding like that's normal and fine, and need that space from each other, like outside the house. We both need some time on our own. And occasionally I've been like, I need a night in the spare room. Like if Sienna's been going through a phase of crying at night, and I need a good night's sleep, I'll just be like, you're listening to the monitor tonight. Like I just need to go and sleep in a room with earplugs in so I can actually just catch up. And we balance things like that as well. So, you know, we both feel like we're coping. But the date nights have definitely been something I really look forward to. We normally do them on like a Friday or Saturday night and either cook or get a kind of restaurant kit, which is quite fun, which we wouldn't normally do on just like an average weeknight. Sometimes just in loungewear and eating on the sofa in front of Netflix, which is kind of heaven, with a bowl of pasta and a glass of wine. Other times, like, you know, laying the table, lighting candles, putting on a nice dress. It kind of just depends on the week. But those date nights have been really important, and I'm so excited to actually start doing some out of the house soon.
I know, yeah. How exciting. As you say, no one has to stack the dishwasher. Bliss.
Oh, no, dishwasher. I'm so sick of the dishwasher.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And so in our interview on Women's Health as well, so we talked loads about how you felt about your body and kind of how in this year postpartum, how that's kind of evolved. And you were super honest and super candid about insecurities that you experienced in those first couple of months. Why was it so important for you to be open about that kind of stuff?
I think women often feel like they can't talk about how they feel about their postpartum bodies. And there's so much attention on women's bodies when they're pregnant. And then there seems to be a lot of pressure to bounce back after you've had the baby. And that's just something I really can't stand, because, like, give us a break. Like, you've literally just grown a human. And yes, your body changes a lot while it's like creating a life, carrying it for 9 months. And I did find the first few months after pregnancy like really challenging. Like I found it hard to love my body, and I was kind of ashamed to admit that I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. But I think it's actually really freeing and liberating to like admit that. And I really tried to practice self-love, but it did take me a bit of time to get there and to actually really appreciate my body. I definitely didn't feel like that in the weeks after I gave birth. But now, like, looking back, I'm so amazed by what my body did. And I definitely am much kinder to myself now, like seeing first, obviously, how my body grew this baby, but also how it's recovered now it's almost been a year since I've had Sienna. And I feel really strong. I feel like fit. I feel like I love my body, and I've got kind of curves, and I'm just like different shape to how I was before. And some of my genes fit and the kind of slightly more fitted ones definitely don't. And that's fine. And things don't quite sit how they did before. But I feel really body confident, and I felt so good on my shoot day. I feel so proud of what my body did. And now I'm constantly running around after Sienna, and you know, she's pretty heavy now. She's like 10 kg. She is literally a kettlebell.
As I said to you at the time, that it was almost, I'm really glad that you were so open. I'm not someone who's ever had a child, so I can't speak to that experience of what it's like to embrace and discover your body postpartum. But yeah, I just thought it was very honest. And so thank you.
I think one thing I found really hard as well, I think we talked about this in the interview, was just finding clothes that fit me after I had a baby. And I was a different size to what I'd ever been before. And I had these big milk-filled boobs, which were ginormous. And I've always had a very small chest, so that was quite a big change to adjust to. But I just found clothes that from, you know, high street brands or wherever that I would shop in normally, even kind of 3-4 sizes up from what I was before, were just like too tight, especially like around my chest. And I just felt uncomfortable with things that like didn't fit properly. So I did end up just wearing, I mean, I was breastfeeding. I just remember wearing kind of lots of like big kind of painter's smock type shirts that I could easily like unbutton, and like leggings, or just, I just ended up wearing like really loose, like tent-like dresses. But I found it, yeah, I did find it a bit uncomfortable at first, just adjusting and finding things that I felt comfortable wearing, adjusting to being a different size than I had been before, and adjusting to when I was pregnant. And I just wanted everything to be tight on my bump and show it off, because I loved it. And I was, you know, just wanted to show off my big bump. And then after the baby, I kind of just wanted to like, I felt like I didn't want to show my tummy, and I, you know, it was an area that I kind of wanted things to kind of just skim over and wear like, yeah, floaty things.
That's so interesting, isn't it? It's almost like there's an overnight shift in kind of what you want.
Yeah.
It's almost like you want there to be, you want to show off the bump, and then you want it not to be there.
Yeah, but it is still there. And it's so different for each woman. I've got friends who've been literally the same size again after 2 weeks, so they are I'm so happy for them that they are genetic freaks. And most women, you know, you do still have look pregnant for a bit. But yeah, it's definitely taken time, and it took a couple of months definitely to kind of go down. And that's fine, and that's normal.
Absolutely. And we must say that, yeah, you look absolutely incredible in the photos. But let's talk about, so you've kind of grown the respect that you've had for your body, which has grown in the time that your body has kind of healed after the birth. So you gave birth to Sienna and via cesarean. Let's talk about that in context of your fitness journey and how you kind of built your body back up to the strength where you are now.
Do you know what, people always ask me about how, you know, C-section recovery, actually really should do a post on it. And you know, it is different for everyone, but when you've had a C-section, I think it depends whether you've had a planned C-section, or which I had because Sienna was breech, or whether you've had an emergency one. I think the recovery can be quite different, because often with an emergency one, they go in really quickly, and I think it can sometimes take a bit longer to heal. Mm. Whereas if you have a planned one, it's everything's done a bit slower, and you know, I actually felt better in a couple of weeks. But the recovery at first, it was quite hard. You know, it's very difficult to move around. It's painful. I was on a lot of pain medication, but you know, you've just had surgery, it does hurt. I got out of bed the next day and just moved around very gently. And I was home after two nights and kind of recovered at home. I don't think I even left the house for about 10 days, apart from, you know, just walking around the house in our little patio and just, you know, resting when I could and figuring out breastfeeding and everything. And then started going for short walks, literally kind of 20 minutes a day. And then slowly built them up over a couple of weeks till I was maybe going for like 40 minutes or up to an hour. And you really have to listen to your body. I went in one of the first walks I did, I'd done about two walks, and I was like, oh, I can go a bit further today, and tried to do kind of double what I'd done the day before, and then ended up like bleeding quite a lot that evening. It was quite painful, and that is like quite normal if you push it, your body a little bit further than you should early on. So definitely listen to your doctor and like take it, I would just say take it super easy after a C-section. And after a couple of weeks, I started doing some kind of, but after I was signed off, I think it's at like 6 weeks or 8 weeks postpartum, I had my kind of postpartum checkup with my obstetrician. And I also saw a women's health physio, and she did a kind of internal check to make sure, to check my pelvic floor. And she said everything was okay. And I was fine to start like gentle kind of Pilates and gentle exercise. So that's what I started doing. And I started doing Pilates at first, which I've done Pilates like on and off over the years. And it is really just like the core of everything, you know, it's like if you can do those kind of even basic Pilates moves, it's just so important for your posture, for your strength, for your mobility. And I've done a lot of Pilates when I was pregnant, so Pilates was kind of something I felt safe with, and that's mainly what I did. I've done quite a lot with Fluid Form, which is online, which is really great as well. And then I started doing a bit of weight training, so just like light weights that I've got at home. Obviously haven't been able to get back to going back to gyms very much. There was that during, in between one of the lockdowns, I did actually start going back to a couple of spin classes, which was really fun.
Oh, amazing. Where's your favorite studio?
I go to Core Collective. I really like the spin there. But actually I've really been meaning to try, and I want to when we can again, like the Cycle and Soul Cycle in Notting Hill.
Oh yeah, I've not been.
Have you been?
I've not been. I've been to the Cycle. I've been to the ones near the office. So near to, like the Fitzrovia Cycle.
Yeah,
they're actually sending me a bike tomorrow, like an at-home one to try, which you should definitely look into. I can't vouch for it yet because I've not. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if you can recreate that like environment at home.
I have thought about getting a Peloton. It's just like where to put it. Now we've got Sienna, like space is tight, you know, where I think I'd put it, that's really where like her playroom is. And then do you want it like in your bedroom? I don't know. But it one, so I got excited about going back to classes, then we couldn't go to gyms again. I thought I need to get my cardio fix somehow. So another thing I've taken from lockdown is that I've started running. And I'm very much an amateur, and I mean, I'm not someone that's going to do a marathon any time in my life, but doing these kind of short runs, kind of, I like to run for between 30 and 40 minutes. That's kind of like comfortable. It's quick. It doesn't take up too much of my day. I can do a quick stretch when I get home, and a quick warm up before, and then the whole thing's done in like an hour. Or on some days, I've literally just done 20 minutes of a stretch if I've only got half an hour, but you still feel like you've done something. And I use I just use a Nike running app and use the guided runs on there, which really helps me just to get out the door. And I like having someone in my ear, like making me accountable.
Yes.
So, but yeah, coach. I normally do like 5K, maybe two or three times a week. And it just makes me feel really good. I just enjoy listening to some music, or sometimes even just literally just to like the birds, just to nothing, and just going for it. Having some me time, having some fresh air. That's something I really say I'd started doing like this year.
So that's so great that you've discovered running as a new mum and in lockdown, and you think it's something that you're going to stick with. Women's Health have commissioned research recently into harassment that people have experienced when they're out jogging. Have you heard about people being harassed when they're out running? And is it something that you've ever experienced?
No, it's something that a girlfriend has told me about, and she had an experience where she thought someone was following her and she was quite freaked out. Which is awful, and I really felt for her, and she's now like started wearing an alarm. And I know Amy does that too, actually. But for me, I feel really lucky that it's not something that has happened to me. In saying that, I probably wouldn't feel that comfortable running. I live in a very busy area of London. If I lived somewhere more rural, I don't think I'd feel very comfortable running if there wasn't good like street lights. I didn't feel like there was anyone around. Kind of more in the middle of nowhere, I think I probably would feel a bit anxious to do that. And no one should have to feel like that, right? But the kind of, I just say it so easily, right? Like you're just like, you know, I think walking, certainly I felt like that, but running, I haven't had any experiences. Maybe the odd guy, like they're like ogling you a bit.
Yes, but not a situation where you felt like you might be physically threatened.
No, and I feel very lucky, but it's amazing that you're doing that, because like no one should have to experience that.
Absolutely. And yeah, we've, for our research showed that it had increased in lockdown as well, which is super worrying, just as more people are kind of getting out and discovering running. And as we said, it's that most accessible, cheap form of exercise.
Right.
It was so interesting, actually, because when you're, obviously we said, so you've done 4 Women's Health covers, so it's been 4 interviews, and we've been able to kind of, and it's almost like you've grown up. So your 20s have run almost perpendicular to like the boom of like the wellness scene in London.
Yeah.
And abroad. And it's interesting because in all of them, you kind of, so there was a phase when you got really into weight training, and then there was a phase when you were doing some quite like intense HIIT and stuff. And then there's the more like yoga phase. And it's been really interesting now, because it's like by this time, it's like you've, because we think of you being this, you know, this poster girl through the London fitness scene and at all these like glam classes and stuff. And it was so funny just speaking to you, and you're like, yeah, I just use my Nike training app and I go outside and I run to the park for 20 minutes because it gives me half an hour to an hour out of the house when I can clear my head. And it's so interesting because, yeah, as we've always associated with you with the kind of the more glamorous side of fitness. And it's like the most ultimate, ultra accessible, ultra kind of relatable form of exercise.
We've all just had to adapt, you know, like,
yeah.
I love like putting on my new, I'd love nothing more to put on a new set of like really nice Farley gym kit and go to a studio, bump into someone I know, and like get a coffee and like, you know, I'm so excited for that. But it has, I think, lockdown and then also being a mum, have both, you know, made it kind of impossible to go to classes and gyms. So being able to learn what you can do, what works for you, what you like doing, and what you can do literally anywhere, that is actually so valuable, because, you know, if you can actually just be motivated enough and find things that you'll actually do on your own at home or you know, on a run. Or I mean, we are so lucky that we have access to, I mean, I say on my own, I mean, over Zoom or, you know, on a online class. Like, we are so lucky to have access to so many things. It's not like I'd be doing it literally without something to look at, you know. I need someone on the screen going, come on, do it, you can do it.
Even when Core Collective and Cycle and everything opens up, do you think you're still going to be lapping the park?
I think I will. I definitely want to keep it up. I mean, I'm not one for doing it on a rainy day. I have done it. It's not my favourite. I'd much rather do it on it when it's nice weather. I hope so. I think as much as I love the idea of doing loads of classes, I probably do like one a week realistically with the time I have.
It's another string to your bow, isn't it? So what does being healthy mean to you now?
Healthy for me means just having the energy to run around after Sienna and the strength to, like, you know, carry her around and throw her up in the air. And honestly, that's like what healthy means now. It's about being like the best me possible so I can be the best mum possible.
And it's a role that you are evidently thriving in, even when you talk about her. Obviously this is audio so people can't see, but you just get such a little smile on your you get such a little glow when you're talking about her. How much do you love being a mummy?
Well, it's literally, I'm gonna sound so sloppy, but it just feel like it's like completed me. Like, it's just gonna put me all together and just like missing piece. Like, I just love it. I just feel like it's just given me more purpose, and honestly just like waking up in the morning and I'm so excited to just go and get her up, and I have to lie there. I don't get her up till 7. I have to. I always wake up at 6, so I can hear her chatting away, and I have to try for an hour to not go into her room and just get her out of bed. must stick to routine. I just really want to go and snuggle her. Sometimes I do bring her into the bed when we have snuggles, which is like my favorite part of the day.
So adorable.
I do. It's not always easy though. Like, it's important to say that as well, but I'm very lucky. I've had Hugo around for a year. We've had like grandparents supporting us, and you know, she's, after we've got her reflux and sleep issues and her hip dysplasia, once we kind of got past those things, you know, I've really, really enjoyed it, and I'm just so excited for kind of next stages with her.
Yes, absolutely. So before we were talking about, so you have been on the cover of Women's Health and Unmatched 4 times.
Really? Has no one else done it 4 times?
No, you haven't. They haven't.
Are you being seriously? I can't believe that.
You're the ultimate boomerang cover star, and we love it.
my mum in their loo at home has got my covers on the wall. So she'll have like all the Women's Health ones like lined up next to each other, which is
that's
really sweet.
So sweet. so doting.
I feel extra proud of this one because my body in the last year, you know, a year ago I had a baby, so I feel like super proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, as you should do. And when we're looking back at all everything that you've tried on like the fitness scene and various like wellness trends, what's the kind of silliest thing that you've, what's the silliest or faddiest thing that you've done or something that you'd never try again?
Well, I used to do like Bikram yoga for like 90 minutes, and I then watched the like Bikram yoga documentary and like felt really like weird about it. And I was like, what did I like buy into? Like, that was super weird. And I was like, I can never do it again. I don't know about you, but that was mega weird. Also just being in a smelly, sweaty room in that heat for 90 minutes, like, I just can't imagine anything worse. That's definitely not something I'll be doing again.
It's interesting, isn't it? It was such a trend, and then I think lots of studios have obviously what's the word,
they have hot yoga,
they've
well,
hot you yoga,
which is different, hot Pilates, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and distancing from the name of someone so awful.
I know.
But yeah, it's funny how things peak and then go out, isn't it?
Have you tried, like, it's not going in a cryo chamber?
I've not, actually. Have you?
I have tried it, and I know, I don't want to call it a fad, because I do think there is amazing research into it, and it's proved to be amazing for, like, injury and all these things, but I'm not dissing it and saying it doesn't work, because I think it's incredible for, like, for health. But, oh my God, it's so cold, and I wish I could, like, I had one there are, you know, lots in London. I wish I could just get almost go and do it regularly because of the health benefits, but I just can't stand the cold. It is freezing, and you're not in there for very long, but it just like burns with cold. Yeah, not for me.
Not for you. Okay, so the name of this podcast is Going for Goal. And when we end, we always like to ask what your number one goal is right now. So aside from getting tough enough to withstand a cryotherapy session, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon, what's your number one goal at the moment?
Oh, number one goal, fitness goal, life goal.
It can be anything. But you can give us one of each if you want, or anything. Yeah, fitness, life, health, happiness, the rest.
I feel like I've kind of got my goals. But like I feel really happy, and I'm so happy with like being a mom and with Hugo, and that we've kind of come through lockdown like stronger. And for us, it's actually been like a really incredible start of our life as a family. And I'm just, you know, really excited. I guess my goals, like kind of right now, like it's just coming out end of April, right? Like, yeah, it's, you know, we're kind of slowly coming out of lockdown, being unlocked, as you called it, and you know, just getting to spend some quality time like with my family, with our family, outside of the house is a goal, you know, just enjoying the UK and nature, and just having some kind of chill time this summer. That's what one goal I've got that I know is gonna feel amazing, because we've been looking forward to it for so long, and it will be like such a nice reward for kind of, you know, all the dirty nappies and, you know, sick in my hair and like food thrown at me. So I'm really looking forward to just like having some fun downtime as a family.
That sounds wonderful. Maintaining and appreciating everything great that you've got going on right now.
There we go. You put it into words better than I. There we go.
That sounds just... like that's the point. That's okay. That's your job. I'll do my job.
Okay. You nailed it. Yeah, that is. Yeah, where I'm at right now. But yeah, it's been so lovely chatting to you, and I hope everyone gets a copy of Women's Health and you enjoy reading our interview.
What a very worthy girl, Millie McIntosh. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming on Going for Goal.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and have a lovely rest of your day.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed listening to that chat with Millie as much as I enjoyed having it. Millie McIntosh, as we might have mentioned a couple of times, is Women's Health's May cover star, and The Issue, which is brilliant, by the way, and packed with tons of tips on how to live a little more sustainably, is on stands now. Remember, if you want to comment on anything that we've raised in this episode, get in touch. All the details of how are in the show notes. And if there's a celeb that you'd love to hear interviewed on the show, we are all ears. That's all from Going for Goal this week. We'll be back next Tuesday. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.